Welcome in to another edition of First Draft. And with the first week of NFL free agency now behind us, it sort of feels like the rest of the world is ready to join us here in draft season. I'm Field Yates, and the man who I'm talking to today needs no introduction. He is Mel Kiper Jr. We're back, Mel, and Justin Fields has officially been traded. How the heck are you?
I'm good, Phil. Got a lot to cover. You got your updated top 15, mock, what's it, the 1.1.
I'm going 1.1.
2.0 coming up in early April.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 3.0 for me is coming out on Thursday. So actually tomorrow,
we'll talk
about it on Thursday as well. So a lot of news and notes, Phil, but let's get right to it because I know you adapted to what free agency has brought us and the Justin Fields trade. I got a lot to say about this one, Field.
Yeah, take it away, Mel. What were your thoughts on this Justin Fields trade that sends him from Chicago to Pittsburgh? The cost is a 2025 sixth-round pick that can become a fourth-round pick.
Amazing. It was a giveaway. It was basically a gift. The AFC North can't be thrilled about the Steelers landing Justin Fields. If I'm the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, this is the last thing I wanted to see happen here. Because Justin Fields is a talent. He's won. He's produced. He's shown exciting future potential as to how he can ascend, how far he can ascend in the quarterback rankings if he develops in certain areas, which we know what they are. We'll get into that today. But to do this to me and this giveaway of a trade when you could have kept him. And people say, well, you can't keep him and Caleb Williams. Why the heck not? Okay? Go back to when Troy Aikman was there. Number one pick overall. Jimmy Johnson drafted his quarterback at Miami. Okay? Steve Walsh. Had him there a couple years. Traded him to New Orleans for a 1, 2, and a 3. Go back to Joe Montana, Hall of Fame quarterback. Steve Young was brought in. They had to coexist. Right? Wasn't great, but they had to coexist. Then you go to Patrick Mahomes, right? Patrick Mahomes was brought in when they had Alex Smith. Alex Smith was the quarterback. Patrick Mahomes sat for a year, basically redshirted. So for me, if Justin Fields is the better quarterback this year, he plays. If it's Caleb Williams and he plays, what have you lost, Field, by keeping him? You're not getting anything anyway for Justin Fields. So if he can't beat out Caleb Williams and he's not the guy or he plays and he struggles, who cares? You weren't getting anything. So to me, I'm letting it play out. I'm letting Justin Fields and Caleb Williams battle. If Caleb Williams doesn't like it, too bad. Yeah. Pat him on the shoulder and say, Caleb, you're the guy. You'll prove to be the guy. If you are the guy, you will prove to be the guy. So I'm going to let it play. There's no way I'm going to give him away for a sixth in 2025 that can become a four. No way.
Yeah, Mel, I've seen a lot of people that have had a similar reaction to what you have. I did see it differently here. I felt like Chicago needed to move on from Justin Fields because when they take, presumably, Caleb Williams, number one overall, I am of the mind that over the past half decade or so, we have seen more teams ruin quarterbacks, on top of quarterbacks not holding up their end of the bargain, but too often players are ruined by the franchise around them. I believe you need to empower these quarterbacks as much as possible. And while you're right, a little bit of competition can be healthy for the soul, I think it creates a very unique dynamic and perhaps an awkward one when you have two capable players in the quarterback room with no clear, front runner or no clear top dog. I'm imagining a scenario where it goes like this. Justin Fields plays well at the beginning of the season, can hold off Caleb Williams, and then the minute he struggles, Caleb Williams is pressed into action. Well, then fast forward things a little bit. If Caleb plays great, that would be ideal for the Bears, but if he has rookie moments, then people are saying, bring Justin Fields back into the mix. I think that quarterback clarity is important here, Mel, and I think the league showed us how they view Justin Fields because the price was only a six-round pick that can become a four next year. I thought the league would value Justin Fields at a much higher rate than it did, but it sounds like there is less optimism about the player that Justin Fields is now and can be going forward than we thought there was maybe even as little as a week ago.
I'll say this about the league. The league's clueless when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. That's been proven time and again. They were clueless back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Yep. And they're clueless to today. Okay. They have no idea how to evaluate quarterbacks. Yep. They don't know them when they get to see them in college. They don't know them once they're in the NFL. They don't know them at all. Okay? So, again, Justin Fields in Pittsburgh now becomes a guy that they can put packages in, even if Russell Wilson's a starter, what Justin Fields in. If Wilson's struggling, then Fields can be the guy. What's the difference in there? Because you got Caleb Williams, and he's coming in. You got to make sure Caleb's happy. No, I'm old school, Field. Yeah. Back in the day, every quarterback competed. You had guys there that get the job. And ultimately, the best guy, it's going to flush out. The best guy is going to get the job. Yeah. He's going to secure that job, and he's going to maintain that job. I like win-wins. If Justin or Caleb, hey, if Justin turns out to be great, you trade Caleb. If Justin's not great and Caleb has to be the quarterback because Justin just isn't getting it done, you gave up. You got nothing. You got nothing. You gave Justin Fields away for nothing. So if he's not the guy, you cut ties, you move on, let somebody else get him for nothing because you got nothing.
Yeah, well, we could really talk about this for the entirety of the show. We can certainly get into a little bit more when we dive in to the mini mock draft in just a little bit here. I will say this, for those that are going to say, well, if you don't believe that you should have two quarterbacks in the room, do you also not like the move for Pittsburgh? My answer is no, I do like it for Pittsburgh because the dynamics are so different. Caleb Williams, number one overall pick at the beginning of hopefully a 10-year career, as opposed to Russell Wilson, a one-year minimum salary contract who has just released with the largest dead cap hit in NFL history of $85 million. Bringing Justin Fields in, to me, does not complicate that quarterback room that much. That, even though the Steelers are saying will be Russell Wilson's job, I believe it'll be a competition in Pittsburgh. May the best man win. All right, coming up, we dive into my mini mock 2.0. All right, back here on First Draft, he's Mel Kiper Jr., I am Field Yates, and last week I did a mini mock draft in which I reacted to the first 15 picks, Mel, as things were unfolding in free agency. It goes online on ESPN.com, and then boom, Adam Schefter with a big tweet about a few different moves, including the Chargers releasing Mike Williams, and then eventually trading Keenan Allen to the aforementioned Chicago Bears for a fourth-round pick. So we had to go back and redo the mini mock 2.0. A little bit of an editor's note here. There have been other moves that have taken place since this went live that have at least a little bit impacted the first 10 picks. We'll dive into that as that takes place. But Mel, now that Justin Fields has been traded, as if there was any doubt, the Bears are taking a quarterback, number one overall. I had them taking Caleb Williams. Do you agree with my first pick in my mini mock 2.0?
No doubt. Caleb Williams, number one. And, of course, at number nine, we'll have to see, do they move down to try to recoup that second-round draft choice? But, no, Caleb Williams now is the quarterback. He's the Bears' future. You think about where they are now that Justin Fields is in Pittsburgh. It's all back. Caleb, now you have to do everything to make him great. GM Ryan Poles has to do that. You got new offensive staff in there. Now it's all back. Caleb Williams in a division with Jared Goff, in a division with the ascending Jordan Love, right? And we'll see what Minnesota ends up doing. But for the Bears, if they hit a home run, forget a grand slam, a home run with Caleb Williams, hey, nobody's going to look back on Justin Fields and say it was a bad move. So this is about trying to do everything possible as a GM that Ryan Poles is in Chicago to put every piece around him possible to give Caleb Williams an opportunity to be a special quarterback in the NFL field.
And let's talk about some of the pieces around Caleb Williams. Some have said this is the best situation for a number one overall pick quarterback to go to, Mel. To be truthful, I have not studied or revisited every single number one pick at quarterback to say with certainty I feel that way. But around Caleb Williams, and we've discussed Caleb's skill set plenty on this show, so people know what we think of him. You now have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, two guys who at their best have been Pro Bowl or even All-Pro level wide receivers. Recently signed Gerald Everett, a tight end, to a two-year deal to go along with Cole Kmet. So you have a 1-2 punch at tight end as well. You've got two tackles and Braxton Jones, a fifth rounder a couple of years ago, and last year's first round pick Darnell Wright that can bookend the offensive line that also now includes Ryan Bates, and they recently also signed Coleman Shelton at a center from the Los Angeles Rams to a one-year deal. So they've been throwing resources into that offensive line. I'm not saying that Caleb Williams is going to go to Chicago and guarantee to be lighted on fire, but I will say this, light on fire the entire NFL, I should say, Mel, but he's in a pretty darn good situation relative to how I think other number one picks have entered the NFL in recent years. Pick number two, no surprise, Mel. It's Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, goes to the Washington Commanders. We've talked about this one before as well, Mel, but they recently traded Sam Howell to the Seattle Seahawks, which made it that much more likely that this team is definitely not just locked in on a quarterback, but not trading this pick either.
Yeah, Washington's done a lot in terms of moves in free agency field, and Jaden Daniels is a special talent in terms of his dual threat capability, in terms of the kind of year he had at LSU carrying that football team on his shoulder because their defense couldn't stop anybody. We've gotten into that a lot over the last couple of months field. So for Washington to see him there in a year where normally he'd have gone number one if it wasn't a Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels played like a number one pick overall this year. Make no mistake about it. Everybody else had, even Caleb Williams had his hiccups late, right? Drake May had hiccups late. Okay? You know, J.J. McCarthy never had to carry the team. In a normal year, if it wasn't a talent like Kittle who played so phenomenal in 2022, Jaden Daniels is the number one pick overall. So for the Washington Commanders to get him at two, they got to feel pretty doggone happy about it.
One follow-up for me, and I would be curious how you read this. Some have suggested that the team, meaning the Commanders, signing Marcus Mariota was a tip-off that they are leaning more towards Jaden Daniels than Drake May, because Mariota, of course, very athletic quarterback, at least during his prime as well. Did you read that move the same way that some are?
You like to have that. You like to have that ability to have your backup in a similar type of skill set as your starter. So I'm with you on that field. Sometimes it can't work out that way. Hey, Kenny Pickett goes with Jalen Hurts to Philadelphia, right? Well, you know, now you have a situation with Russell Wilson where Justin Fields can be that complementary piece, right? You can have packages for Justin Fields. He went over 1,000 yards rushing. He's a great athlete, great running quarterback. So in Pittsburgh, it makes more sense to have Justin Fields with Russell Wilson than a Kenny Pickett. But Kenny Pickett goes with Jalen Hurts, which isn't ideal because Pickett's not that kind of guy. Here, you get that kind of guy, Fields. So I'm with you. Sometimes you're able to work those things out, and in this case, it seems like it has.
All right, I feel comfortable in saying this on March 18th at 11:10 a.m. Eastern time that the opening quarterback for the Patriots in week one will be Jacoby Brissett. But that did not stop me from mocking a quarterback at pick three overall here, Mel. It's Drake May from North Carolina, quarterback three in this scenario, but a player who in a different year could be going higher off the board as well.
Yeah, this is a tough one because you keep hearing all this talk, all this chatter out there that, hey, you know, they don't love Drake May, that Drake May, we talked about the games we discussed, the Virginia game, the NC State game, Clemson game, where he was missing receivers, he wasn't accurate, precise with the football, and didn't bring his A game, right? Didn't have his best stuff in those games, like pitchers we talked about, not having their best stuff, the numbers declined, didn't have Josh Downs, who was his top receiver 2 years ago, right? Walker missed the first few games. First four games of the year with the suspension. So for Drake May, if New England is a team, and we say they need a quarterback desperately, right?
Yes.
Minnesota needs a quarterback desperately, right? Oh, they have Sam Darnold for $10 million. So who's better, Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett? Sam Darnold, he had $10 million. He can be the bridge quarterback, right? Maybe he turns out to be better than that. Who knows? But the bottom line is New England needs a quarterback. Why in the world would you trade out of three, like some suggest, to take you out of the quarterback situation and put somebody else in there to get the quarterback you passed on? When they need the quarterback, you need him as much as they do. I'm with you. Now, if they don't like Drake May, that's fine. But you have another quarterback in J.J. McCarthy who's right there with him. So, again, some way, somehow, they got to get a quarterback. Now, if they don't like Drake May, then don't take him. They don't have to love Drake May. But do they like J.J. McCarthy enough to take him? Or do they trade out and then maybe look wide receiver? It's going to be interesting to see how this pick unfolds. I'm with you if I'm New England. In that division with Josh Allen and Tua and Aaron Rodgers, And the AFC with Mahomes and Lamar and all those great Burrow, no, you got to get the quarterback.
Yeah, and Mel, I tell you, I understand that their weapons around Drake May are very, very mediocre right now. If you look at the depth chart as it presently stands, you got to have the quarterback to figure everything else out, Mel. And as you often remind me, the draft does not end after the first round. The Patriots need to, if they do take Drake May or another quarterback, do everything in their power going forward to make themselves a player in any wide receiver or legitimate game-changing offensive player that becomes available, whether it be via a trade or free agency. Let's go to pick four here, Mel, and no major surprise except for this. And I want to say this now because I want people to understand this. The gap around the league between Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers from LSU is not that robust. Maybe there are teams who don't see it as that close. But I guarantee you there are teams who see it as nip and tuck, Mel. I also know there are teams that see it as Malik Nabers is the better receiver prospect than Marvin Harrison Jr. So I thought about Malik Nabers at pick number four to the Arizona Cardinals. I ended up sticking with Marvin Harrison Jr. I tend to view this as a high society problem, choosing between these two incredible wide receiver prospects. But I go with Marvin Harrison Jr. Nope, crazy analysis needed here, Mel. He's going to fill a major need for the Cardinals, and this is a potential elite prospect.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Marvin Harrison Jr. Love the kid, love his dad, love everything about him. He was brought up in the game. He studies the game. He knows the game. And he played so great at Ohio State. And I think the battle's going to be a two. I think Malik Nabers and certainly Romo Dunze are neck and neck. That's where the battle's going to be. And the real intrigue is going to be, Field, as to which receiver comes off the board behind Marvin Harrison Jr. So I'm with you. There are people that like Neighbors a lot and maybe a little bit ahead of Harrison. Some like Odunze ahead of Neighbors. Behind Harrison is the second receiver. Right now I have it Harrison, Odunze, Neighbors. And Odunze and Neighbors, like I say, is really too close to call. That's a tough one, Field. And that's going to impact. That will impact the decision of the team coming up here as to what they do.
Yeah, all three of those wide receivers are incredible. We got 4 minutes here to discuss the next pick here, Mel, and I went for some chaos. The Vikings, over the weekend, made a trade that included moving up to pick 23 in the draft, which was the Houston Texans, who moved back to the Vikings' second-round pick this year, and they get the second-round pick next year. Everybody has the same conclusion. Minnesota does not move up if they are not going to try to move further up and package pick number 11 plus pick number 23 plus some more to get up into probably the top five to take a quarterback. That is the trade that I proposed in my mini mock draft, which had the Chargers going back from 5 to 11. The Vikings come up at the cost of those two first round picks this year and a first round pick next year, and they take JJ McCarthy, Mel. There is a lot of evidence that doing this sort of trade can be risky inherently because of the freight that you are paying for it. We saw it last year with the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. Would you make this move if you were the Minnesota Vikings?
When you're on the clock, that's when that deal would have to be made, because if you make it early, you don't know if he'll even be there, because right. Arizona could deal out and you could end up with no quarterback. So you have to wait on this. I think it's too high. I think it's overdrafting of JJ. I get the excitement. I get the fact there's a feeding frenzy right now in the league for quarterbacks, and JJ's the red hot guy, right? He's the guy everybody says, boy, he's going to be really special in the NFL. He's going to be great. Even though he didn't have to carry that team, he wasn't asked to. Every time he was asked to do something, he did it really well. He's a great leader. He's a great competitor. He's a great athlete. He can make all the throws. That, hey, well, Jim Harbaugh was right. He's the best player in this draft. He deserves to be right up there with Caleb Williams. People are buying into that a little bit more now. I'm not. I have him still in that 21 to 23 range on the big board. Trust your ratings. Trust how you graded the players during the year. Prevents you and protects you from overdrafting. I think he will be pushed up. I just think this trade cannot be made now, because you cannot guarantee that JJ will be there at 5 if you're the Vikings. Yeah. Maybe Arizona moves out of 4, right? So that's why I'm going to be interested in what New England does. If they don't love Drake May and they don't love JJ McCarthy, then they could move out, obviously, and let Minnesota go into that spot. Yeah. Denver doesn't have the ammunition necessarily to move up to get that quarterback, even though they may want one. So it'll be interesting to see how far up Minnesota can go. But at 5, you're not guaranteed anything, Field.
Yeah, I think that at the very least, though, Minnesota is already having the conversations internally and perhaps with the teams at 3 and 4 and 5, right? The Patriots at 3. Also, the Arizona Cardinals at 4, and then the Chargers at 5. And by the way, the Chargers, I would think, will be motivated to accumulate extra picks because they are sort of resetting the direction of their franchise under Jim Harbaugh and Joe Ortiz. And while it is a big, big cost, they've already paid a legitimate cost to move up from the second round to pick number 23 in that trade with Houston, Mel. I will say this. I don't know if JJ McCarthy has the goods to be a guaranteed starter, high-level starter, let me be clear, at the NFL level. I do believe that it's not a bad situation for whoever the Vikings start at quarterback this year, right? With Justin Jefferson and when T.J. Hockenson returns from his injury, plus Jordan Addison, plus Aaron Jones, plus two excellent offensive tackles. In terms of landing spots for a young quarterback, whether that's Sam Darnold, who's still only 26, or a rookie quarterback, not the worst place for one of these players to land to have their home, especially with a head coach in Kevin O'Connell, very, very good in his right as well.
And one thing here, you keep hearing Minnesota with Drake May. Minnesota, Drake May. Well, if New England doesn't love Drake May, they'd allow Minnesota to go up to 3 and get Drake May. So it's going to be interesting to see. You would think when they made that trade, Field, they would have a dance partner ready to make a deal with to get up in that 3-4 spot to get that quarterback. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Drake May's high school coach, quarterback coach, was, of course, Josh McCown, who is now the Vikings quarterback coach. More first draft in just a moment.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, back here on First Draft, Field Yates, Mel Kiper Jr., and we are ripping through my mini mock 2.0. We have already gone through the first five picks, Mel, which means it's time to go for picks 6 through 10. The New York Giants on the clock, and there are some who believe they could still be a team to watch as it pertains to the quarterback market. Instead, I give them a wide receiver, that being Malik Nabers from LSU, who I was just praising moments ago, saying he might be the best receiver in the draft. So I certainly love the value here for a team that really does not have a game-changing wide receiver.
Yeah, you got to get Daniel Jones some weapons and Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze. Hey, that's the thing about the Chargers at 5. You know, if they make that deal, they lose out on the receivers, those two receivers, Nabers and Odunze, knowing now that they need one of those guys and maybe more so than the right tackle. So you'll get Malik Nabers for this New York Giants team, for Daniel Jones, who has now won the spot to be the guy and stay healthy, and they got the offensive line, they can fix that. They're on the way, hopefully, to doing that. No Saquon Barkley, but you get a guy who's a fear factor receiver with his explosiveness, how he performs, how aggressive, and what a football player he is. He's a warrior on the football field. So he's a receiver who will take hits. He will play through injury. He's everything the Giants need. So I think, forget the quarterback. People say, well, J.J. McCarthy's there. They take him? Really? I don't think they hate Daniel Jones as much as people keep saying. They're done with Daniel Jones. Well, they're not done with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, if he's the quarterback and they believe in him to get him some help, you've got to get one of these receivers, and I have no problem with Nabers at 6 over Romo Dunze, because right now, for me, it's basically too close to call.
It's such a great problem to have to choose between these top receivers at the very beginning of the board, because all these guys have the goods to potentially change your franchise for a long time. All right, so the Titans, Mel, this past week made some moves along the offensive line. They signed center Lloyd Cushenberry, a former third-round pick who became a very, very good player for the Denver Broncos, got a big money deal. They also cut Andre Dillard, their left tackle signing from a year ago, 3-year deal. That lasted a total of just 1 year in Tennessee, which all of a sudden tells you it is time to address the left tackle spot. And they go with Joe Alt from Notre Dame, a player that you and I have been talking about plenty on the show, Mel. And while we had spent a lot of time talking about the idea of him being the 5th overall pick to the Chargers and converting to right tackle, we don't have to worry about that in this scenario, as he would go to Tennessee and play in his natural spot of left tackle, giving Will Levis a left side of the line that would be Peter Skoronski and Joe Alt. That right there would be quite a left side of the line for the Titans to build around going forward.
Yeah, you got to get that for Will Levis. Will Levis showed that he could maybe be a really good quarterback in this league. And you know, last year he was not protected. There's no question about it. Joe Alt, of all the projections and all the mock drafts, you see teams taking players, this is the one makes the most sense, feel, because he is, as you say, a left tackle. That's what they need. Will Levis is all about now making him great. We talked about Brian Callahan coming in as the head coach. That's what you have to do. You get a young quarterback, make him great. Daniel Jones with the Giants, do everything you can to help him. We talked about that with getting the receiver here with Joe Alt, the left tackle for Tennessee. Makes the most sense of just about any pick in the top 10 of the first round.
All right, so I'm getting a good grade on this mini mock 2.0 is what Mel is telling me right here. And by the way, not to be overlooked in this conversation surrounding the Titans offensive line is that perhaps no addition this offseason is more important than the hiring of Bill Callahan as their offensive line coach. He's, of course, the father of their new head coach, Brian Callahan, but considered in many circles as one of the greatest offensive line coaches of all time. So that kind of addition can certainly help shape guys, young and old, like a Joe Alt, like a Peter Skoronski in just his second season, and also a guy in Lloyd Cushenberry is now one of the highest paid centers in all of football. Let's go to pick number 8 here, Mel, and the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins. We talked about this on Thursday's show already. That makes things very straightforward for them. Mel, a team who is perhaps as bereft of pass rush talent as any in the entire NFL, and still, as of this conversation at least, has not dipped its toe into the free agent pass rusher market, has Dallas Turner from Alabama sitting there waiting in the wings. New head coach Raheem Morris gets exactly what I'm sure he would most like.
Yeah, Dallas Turner, you think about where he could go, maybe even a little higher than this field's possible. You think about what Will Anderson, what he was able to do coming out of Alabama to the Houston Texans. Dallas Turner for Atlanta, with all the skill position talent they have, field would be an ideal pick. He's been mocked there all along. He's arguably the best defensive player in this draft. Makes a lot of sense at pick number 8.
Yeah, pick number 8, and I've said this before, but worth regurgitating, reiterating, I should say, because it still hasn't chanced, still hasn't happened, is as of right now, and again, it's Monday, March 18th, the Falcons have not re-signed either Bud Dupree or Calais Campbell. They led the team, each had 6.5 sacks last season, but this was one of the worst pass rushing teams last year. If you put stock into pass rush win rate, they ranked very low, near the bottom of the NFL in that category last season. Much of the pressure they were able to derive was from the chaos that was their former defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen, a very good coach who is now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, so Dallas Turner, simple, straightforward selection, number 8 overall. Feel good about that one. But I feel great about this next one, Mel, because the Chicago Bears, who only have 4 picks in this year's draft, Mel, but they're the only team that has 2 in the top 10. As a matter of fact, they have 2 in the top 9. They draft Caleb Williams earlier. They've already traded for Keenan Allen. They already have DJ Moore under contract for 2 more seasons. Let's add one more to the mix. Rome Odunze-Mel, and we are talking immediately about one of the best wide receiver trios in all of the NFL.
Just don't know how he'll be there, Field. He's so good. He's so smooth. He's so consistent, so reliable. I just feel don't see how he's still on the board at pick number 9.
Okay, so let me ask this then, Mel. I'll let you work through this. Mel's got the thing that I had in prior shows. You know, his voice, his throat's tickling him right now. I hear you. He's the number 6 player on my board. I absolutely love Rome Odunze. There's not too much about his game that I could possibly say is anything other than spectacular. Ran under 4.5 at the combine. Incredibly competitive. I'm going to be out at the Washington Pro Day next week. Already can't wait to see Rome and that entire Washington team. The hard part, Mel, is I just can't find a spot earlier. Like, there are like 3 or 4 guys that I think I'm going to have mocked way too low relative to where I have them on my big board. But the reality is, if a 4th and maybe even a 5th quarterback goes in the first 12 selections, we're going to see some guys fall that for absolutely no reason of their own don't deserve it, but it's going to happen if quarterbacks go high. So that's the reason why I have Rome Odunze going pick number 9 overall.
Yeah, I'll say this to you. I think defensive end, a pass rusher opposite Montez Sweat. If you move down, right, you can maybe get a guy like a Jared Verse or a Liatu Latu at that point. You wouldn't talk about maybe going to the Bears in your first mock field. But I think when you look at Odunze, if he's there, you take him. If you're sitting there with no Odunze and a Verse or a pass rusher, move down off of 9. Pick up that second round, coop that second round pick you lost for Montez Sweat. And then still maybe at that point, Field, get a Jared Verse or a Liatu Latu. I think that's the smart move if Odunze's gone. Move off of that pick, because I really believe one of those pass rushers will still be on the board in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, Mel, it's not a bad call right there. And you know Ryan Poles, our GM, does love the draft. So the fact that they only have 4 picks this year is probably gnawing at him. But if they were to land Rome Odunze, I think it would be the grand slam of all grand slam first rounds for the Chicago Bears, because if we think it looks good, really good right now, for Caleb Williams going into an offense with DJ Moore and also Keenan Allen, it would look downright spectacular if it also included Rome Odunze. I just couldn't quite find the value for a pass rusher right there, and I don't know if it's too early for an interior offensive lineman that probably comes into the NFL having played tackle in college, whether that's a Tali Fuaga, whether that's a Troy Fautanu from Washington, two guys who I think could both kick inside a year after using the 9th overall pick on a right tackle. 10th overall pick. They moved back one spot for Darnell Wright. Let's get to pick number 10 here, Mel. And I mentioned this earlier at the beginning of the show that some things have changed since my mini mock went live that could impact things. I had the Jets taking Olufashinu, left tackle, from Penn State. This came out before the news that the team had signed Tyron Smith from the Dallas Cowboys. A lot to like about Olufashinu, that much is for sure. Let me ask you, after signing Tyron Smith, do you believe the Jets should now bypass an offensive tackle in the first round and instead go to a different position of need with Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith now locked up?
Great question, Phil, because the durability of Tyron Smith is the issue. The durability, Morgan, of Morgan Moses moving forward. Elijah Vera Tucker, you had Simpson, you have Tippmann. On paper, it looks like Joe Douglas has done a really good job solidifying this line, but you got to keep them healthy. Got to keep them out there for 17-plus games, they hope, right? Then you think about Brock Bowers, what Brock Bowers could mean to Aaron Rodgers in this offense. That's the call you have to make. Do you take down the luxury pick, kind of the insurance policy, or do you take Brock Bowers? I'm taking Brock Bowers.
Yeah, Mel, it's a really fascinating conversation. My guess is that the Jets, assuming there's no other subsequent additions at specific positions that we're talking about, like another tight end, I don't even know who could be available, but a tight end that could take Brock Bowers off the board. Assuming there are no other notable additions, I think the Jets are going to say, we need to fill our needs. And I think there's a play with fire mentality to that because of the fact that you mentioned the durability for Tyron Smith. The guy's 33 years old. There's a reason why prior to last season, the Cowboys made him restructure his contract. There's a reason why Tyron Smith's deal can be worth up to $20 million, but I think the base value is something like $7.5 million. I mean, when you got $12.5 million available in incentives, Mel, the team is telling us that, yeah, if he plays and plays at a high level, we believe he's worth it, but we're not totally certain that he will play. So I still would think long and hard about Olufashinu. I'm also convinced of this. More GMs and head coaches are aware of their own future. And if the Jets don't win big this year with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, and they have a year record-wise that is similar to last year, even with Aaron being injured last season, it might mean Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are on the hot seat. And so sometimes GMs and coaches act with more urgency than they would like to in all things being equal scenario.
No question. They're on the hot seat. GM, head coach, they got to win. Aaron Rodgers needs a weapon like Brock Bowers as well, Field, because you got Garrett Wilson needs somebody to help him out. And Brock Bowers, to me, is the all-around weapon who you can move anywhere you want on a football field. So now you hope, keep those fingers crossed, that those linemen can stay healthy. Because if they do, you have solidified the line. To your point about Fashanu or J.C. Latham, that's the security blanket. In case somebody's hurt, you can develop them, and you can have them in there and move in and feel pretty good about it if your starter gets injured. So, again, they have not had good luck on the injury front. Hopefully they will this year. Aaron Rodgers being the key guy, keep him healthy from day one. The offensive line right now looks good on paper, good enough on paper, so they can audibleize and take Brock Bowers, the all-around weapon, out of Georgia.
Just to be clear, if I had had the opportunity or if the editors had asked us to do another edition of this after the Tyron Smith trade, I would have given them Brock Bowers just because it seems to me that with the offensive line in a place where they appear to be comfortable, it's time to add more weapons because it's Garrett Wilson and who else that scares you, at least amongst the tight ends and wide receivers? I would not be surprised, by the way, if the Jets continue to look at veteran offensive tackles to pad the depth behind Morgan Moses, who's an Iron Man, and Tyron Smith, who of late has not been exactly that. All right, coming up here on First Draft, we rip through picks number 11 through 15, including the fifth quarterback off my board.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, back here on First Draft, he's Mel Kiper Jr. I am Field Yates, and just a reminder, in this mock draft, I mocked a trade in which the Chargers move back from pick 5 to pick 11. Minnesota Vikings move up, Mel. So we've been mocking offensive tackles to the Chargers for quite some time now. And in the original edition of this file, it actually had J.C. Latham going to the Chargers 5th overall. Now I give it to the Chargers, pick 11 overall, and Mel, I owe you a mea culpa because I had him all the way up there at pick number 5, and I was telling you a couple weeks ago, you're crazy, how could this possibly happen? And then I thought about it, and thought about it, and talked to people, and asked their opinion about Mel Kiper's crazy idea of giving somebody J.C. Latham 5th overall, and some of the feedback I got was, while Joe Alt might be able to become a really good right tackle, and they had confidence, and I have confidence that's the case, If you already have Rashawn Slater and you're saying to yourself, we don't care about whether a guy can be a left tackle, take the known quantity in J.C. Latham, who, Mel, I think the strongest player in the draft and a guaranteed day one starter at right tackle.
I'm with you, Field. I love J.C. Latham. I think J.C. Latham is a plug-and-play right tackle. The way he performed at Alabama during his career was outstanding. Think about, because he had the skill set to be a left tackle in the NFL, he could be. In fact, he thinks he can be a left tackle in the National Football League. I think the Chargers are a fascinating team right now. They want to be physical. You got a great mauler, run blocker, and J.C. Latham. But you have receivers sitting there, right? Romo Odunze, Malik Nabers. So you trade off of five, losing those two, but saying, okay, we can get a J.C. Latham. We can get a Fuaga from Oregon State. We can get that right tackle and solidify that position. So if they went this route field, they lose the receivers, but they gain a big-time elite mauler as a run blocker in right tackle J.C. Latham. I would like this move because the depth at wide receiver could allow them to basically find somebody second, third, fourth round that can help them at that spot. Right now, Field, Johnston, Palmer, they don't have anybody else at wide receiver. So they need to help at that spot, but a right tackle like J.C. Latham would make a lot of sense here.
It's worth noting, Mel, that Adam Schefter, I believe, said last night on Twitter that Mike Williams returning to the Chargers is not off the table. So if that were to happen, Mike Williams, of course, was released last week, is going to visit the Steelers, the Jets, and the Panthers this week. If he goes back to L.A., that would only put one more log on the offensive tackle fire here, and I'm with you. The player that the Chargers could get at pick 37 at wide receiver, I think, is superior to the offensive tackle they could get at 37 because I do think that tackle run is going to be hot and heavy during this first round. Let's go to pick 12 here, Mel, and this was one that I suppose generated some conversation on the internet. I followed your advice and did not look at the comments after posting the mini mock 2.0, but it's Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon, going to the Denver Broncos at pick 12. And a reminder of the circumstances here, Mel. The Broncos right now have one quarterback of note on their roster. It's Jared Stidham. They have not made a move at all in free agency. Beyond that, they have no second round pick. If it is not taking place at pick number 12, Mel, it is not taking place at all here for the Denver Broncos. What do you think about Bo Nix going 12th overall as the fifth quarterback off the board?
It would surprise me. It wouldn't necessarily shock me, Phil, because they are under pressure now. Sean Payton is to get that quarterback with Patrick Mahomes, with Justin Herbert in that division in the AFC. They got to get one. Now, our Jeremy Fowler, our insider, Jeremy comes on the Daria Mel Show every Saturday morning between 10 and 1, right? He says, hey, they like Jared Stidham. They are okay rolling forward with Jared Stidham, okay? So Bo Nix to me at 12, way, way too high. Way too high. Now, maybe he sees, Sean Payton does, a little Drew Brees in Bo Nix. Remember Drew Brees, quarterback for Sean Payton all those years? First pick in the second round when he went to the Chargers out of Purdue. Maybe he sees a little bit of that field. I didn't. I think Bo Nix, to me, is more of a second-round draft choice. You were in his pro day field. What are you hearing about where he could go?
Mel, well, I will say this. I asked Bo after the pro day, what was the trait that he hoped teams would see in him that would help sort of make his case as a quarterback that could go in the first round? And he said his processing. And Mel, I think when you watch the tape and when you talk to people around the NFL that have also evaluated Bo Nix, they feel as though his processing is terrific. And what does Sean Payton want in his offense? It's not a guy who's got a cannon arm. Drew Brees was not known for his cannon arm. He was known for his terrific processing and his all-time accuracy, right? I feel like it's like four out of the top seven seasons in terms of single-season completion percentage belong to Drew Brees. The guy is insanely accurate. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that Bo Nix is quite on the level of Drew Brees because maybe nobody ever is, but he did just complete 77.45% of his passes, the highest ever in an FBS single season by any quarterback. So it may feel rich. It is rich relative to where both you and I have him ranked on the overall big board, Mel. But to me, it's basically the same as J.J. McCarthy. It's the quarterback tax that you have to pay if you want to get one of these players, especially when, in the case of the Broncos, you don't pick again until the 70s. And you'd have to be incredibly confident in somebody like a Spencer Rattler or a Michael Pratt being a day one starter, and I can't get there personally, so I wouldn't be stunned by it if the Broncos go this route.
Yeah, it depends upon obviously seeing Michael Penix Jr. in this mix out of Washington. Bo Nix, if you like both, you could move down a little bit and get one of those two quarterbacks in a more palatable position in round one than in pick number 12. I always said this, Phil, if you're picking at 12, you got to get somebody in your top 10. Mm. Is Bo Nix a top 10 guy? He's not. You can't get the 15th, 18th, 20th best player. You can't force it. You can't go back to the Christian Ponder days, go back to the E.J. Manuel days, even Kenny Pickett at pick 20, he's gone now, right? You know, Daniel Jones was at 6. Even though I like Daniel Jones, he was overdrafted at 6 based on ratings. So trust your ratings. Bo Nix at 12 would be overdrafted. If he sees little Drew Brees in him, he's going to do it. He's going to do it because you can't – hey, you got to get quarterbacks in this league. And if you're in the AFC and you're in that division, you got to get that guy. And like I say, the ammunition's not there with no second to move up and get a quarterback like even J.J. McCarthy or a Drake May. So if he's sitting at 12 and he loves Bo Nix, hey, in this league the way it is right now, Field, you got to take him if you're Peyton, if you love him that much.
And, Mel, worth noting that while I didn't mention Michael Penix because I don't think Michael Penix would be there in the third round, right? So I just don't think that if they pass on Bo Nix at 12, they have any shot at Michael Penix later on in the order. So Penix certainly consideration as well. But Bo Nix in this scenario is my quarterback 5. We got 3 more picks here, Mel, to go through. And I don't know if feels like a Raider is good enough analysis, but that was part of my calculation with Tali Fuaga, the hulking right tackle from Oregon State, Mel. And worth noting that in free agency, the Las Vegas Raiders saw Jermaine Illuminor go to the New York Giants. They've got a couple of holes along the right side of that offensive line. Pretty solid on the left side of the line here, Mel, but it feels like Tali Fuaga fits a major need and is obviously a very good player as well.
He is, and I think with J.C. Latham, it'll be interesting which one of those two, maybe both. Certainly one of those two should still be here. They have obviously other need areas. They have to figure out, is Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell our quarterback? Same thing we talked about there. Are you good enough with those quarterbacks? No, you're not. You got to get better than that. But the way it falls right now, they're not going to be able to see anybody there worth taking. So with me, Fuaga obviously helps that position. He's a plug-and-play guy, just like J.C. Latham is. So from a positional need standpoint, Field, this pick and where he's valued to go, Fuaga is, this pick makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to make these things easy because they rarely are in the draft. But after the team filled its biggest need, that being defensive tackle with the major and well-deserved deal for the player in Christian Wilkins, it felt to me like you can turn your attention right back to the other side of the line. I am not ruling out a defensive player for the simple reason that Antonio Pierce is now the head coach. He, like Raheem Morris, amongst the defensive coaches that were hired this offseason and certainly have a lot of juice, but I think Tali Fuaga fits a big need. Pick number 14, Mel, is Troy Fa'utanu, offensive lineman from Washington. I said offensive lineman rather than tackle or guard because I don't know where he would fit specifically for the Saints, but what I do know is that they restructured the contract for Ryan Ramczyk this offseason. He is coming off of 5 games missed last year with a serious knee injury. Meanwhile, Trevor Penning, their first-round pick from a couple of years ago, has struggled significantly at left tackle, and Andres Pete, who's been a longtime starter for them, is currently a free agent, which means that Fa'utanu could play left tackle, he could play guard, maybe right tackle if you really needed him in a pinch. But this is a player who, regardless of how the Saints view him, I know he can fit one of a few spots along this offensive line.
Yeah, Fa'utanu is a heck of a player. I've raved about him all year. I'm with you. I think that would make a lot of sense. How about Olu Fashanu from Penn State? If he were down, slipped down that far, a left tackle with his skill set and the fact that he could get to a point where he is a Ronnie Stanley type in the National Football League. So I think offensive line, it screams that position, obviously, when you think about where New Orleans is in terms of Derek Carr and keeping him upright and healthy. So I'm with you. I think offensive line, whereas Fa'utanu, who showed with that arm length and the way he played, and it translates now with the arm length to maybe being a left tackle. Don't write him off left tackle, right tackle, and think he automatically has to move inside to a guard spot. That's not automatic anymore. Yep. That versatility that he provides is going to be huge. It's going to put him somewhere in that middle portion of round one.
And the beauty of it is that you can figure that out at a later date because this kid has all sorts of optionality to his game. Yep. We'll wrap things up. Pick 15, Indianapolis Colts. And amongst their notable moves in free agency were the extensions for both Michael Pittman Jr., their franchise tag wide receiver, and slot corner Kenny Moore, one of the best slot corners in all of the NFL. And while this team largely went young last year at cornerback, Mel, They also, I think, could use an infusion of talent with some more youth, and that's Terron Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama, who I think you and I both view as the top corner or amongst the top corners in this year's draft class. Very tough, frisky, competitive player, excellent ball skills, had a terrific year last year with 5 interceptions, Mel. He helps that Gus Bradley-led defense.
Yeah, he really does. It's either Quinyon Mitchell-Toledo or Terron Arnold. Cooper DeJean, had he not been injured, I would have been in this discussion as well. He's still a first-rounder. He's going to be a real bargain. DeJean will. But for Terron Arnold, didn't run as well as Quinyon Mitchell did, 4.5 to 4.33. But a kid who gets his hands on a lot of balls, and he's got versatility, and he'll tackle. That's the one thing. He's a physical player, and he's a very confident, energetic player. So I'm with you. Quinyon Mitchell, Terron Arnold. You got Jacksonville picking a couple picks later. They could use a corner like one of these two guys. So again, Arnold and Mitchell, both, I think, coming off the board in that 15 to 17 range.
Yeah, Mel, in the original run of this mini mock 2.0 or 1.5, whatever we're calling it, I actually had Quinyon Mitchell going to the Colts with this pick, and then a couple of things move stuff around. Mitchell's wait will not be that much longer. I can guarantee you that, because that kid has absolutely crushed the pre-draft process. You mentioned Cooper DeJean, Mel, by the way. As you and I are having this conversation, he is expected to bench press today at the Iowa Pro Day. He will not be doing the running and on-field work. Sounds like April 15th, though, could be the date that Cooper DeJean does a workout for a variety of teams, or sometime during April. It sounds like Cooper is intending to be on the field and working out for teams, which is good news as he continues to make progress from that leg injury suffered late last season. All right, there you have it. Mini mock 1.5/2.0. A lot of ground covered right there. We're going to wrap things up in just a moment on First Draft with our final thoughts from the first week of free agency and how it shook things up with the draft. All right, back here on First Draft, he's Mel Kiper Jr. and I am Field Yates. So Mel, as always, we get to ask you for a grade and any overarching thoughts from the first week of free agency that we didn't cover that you felt were important to.
Now you get a good job, obviously, addressing the needs of the teams, which they are doing. We have to address it when we do mock drafts, and it creates needs, it solves need areas. And I think when you look at where the Chargers are right now, they are the team that I think is going to dictate a lot about what goes on. They're picking at 5. Did they deem wide receiver? You talk about Mike Williams maybe coming back. Did they deem wide receiver, Greg Roman, the new coordinator? They want to be physical. They want to run the ball. Do they take a receiver here like Neighbors or Odunze, or do they trade out? Do they take the right tackle Latham? Do they look at Fuaga if they move down? I think the Chargers are going to be fun to see what direction that Jim Harbaugh goes with this pick.
Yeah, not that we're counting, but 38 days until the 2024 NFL Draft. We already cannot wait. From Mel Kiper Jr., I am Field Yates. Talk to you guys again on Thursday here on
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.